welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
When you read about Adam in the Garden of Eden, the intimacy Adam had with his father, God calls Adam and he says, I've got all of these animals and I want you to name them all. You call them whatever you like, you name them all. And God sits there and he lets Adam name all of these animals. My goodness me, what a task. And Adam rises to it and Adam delights in what he sees and God delights in Adam. And there's such a joy. God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. There is an intimacy in that place. This beautiful garden that God fashioned, not just for Adam, not just for Eve, but for the whole of this earth. And the call on Adam's life, and the call on humanity, and the call on our lives has not changed at all. It's to take that garden, that place where God dwells, that beautiful place, that place of beauty, and to spread it out. Take it across the entire earth. It hasn't changed. It's God's delight. You can just see the beautiful things that God made. God's looking for Adam to look at them and be delighted by them. And God's delighted by Adam's delight. Yeah. It's a wonderful picture of moment by moment, day by day, intimacy between God and people. And every page of Scripture is the same thing. God's purpose hasn't changed. It's for you and me to live in delight in our God. Delight in Him. Just joy in Him that just beams out of us. But it isn't just for us. It's so that this garden, this place where God is with you, this place where you delight in God, you take it out and you give the love of God to others. And the power of God is the power to love. The gifts of the Spirit are the gifts to set people free. They're the gifts to speak words of life into other people and to see them healed and to see them set free. That's God's purpose for us. Now, we said last week, we're reading from Matthew, that the call of Jesus on his disciples was to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, get rid of demons, anything that is unclean. Leprosy is disgusting and unclean. The demonic, the works of the enemy, they are unclean. And to raise the dead. And to go out into all of this world and to speak words of life to people that make them clean, that set them free, that give them a hope and a future, to share what God has given us. Nothing has changed. God's will and God's heart hasn't changed. And I long for that. God won't let me rest, and I'm sure He won't let you rest. His word says, you call upon the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give Him no rest until He makes the place where He lives the joy of this entire earth. Yep. And there's something that sits inside of me. And sometimes I think, oh, I'm fed up with this dissatisfaction that wells up within me, but it's from God. What I want to do is chill. What God wants me to do is give Him no rest and give myself no rest. Okay? That's how it is. We want to see His kingdom come. We want to see His will done. We want to see people set free. That's where I'm coming from this morning. We're reading John's Gospel and we're reading the Psalms at the moment. I love John's Gospel. It's my favorite of the Gospels. I just love it. John 1:12. What a great verse this is. Yet to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He's given you that right. That is your unalienable right. That's His gift to you who believe in Him, to you who've received Him. And nobody and nothing can take that right away from you. It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we squander that right. Sometimes we give it away. Sometimes we don't live in the good of it. But God wants us to live as sons because he's given us that right. And in the Old Testament, the picture of a son, and you see it when Jesus is baptized, comes out of the water. He's 30 years old. He comes out of the water and the Holy Spirit descends on him. And this voice from heaven, which some people think is thunder, it said, "This is my beloved son, and I am well pleased with him." The picture of a son there is of a grown young man, and it's true of women, okay? Who has inherited the father's business and does that business along with the father. W.H. Smith and Son, okay? So whoever is the son of W.H. Smith does the job of running that business in the same way as his dad. In exactly the same way. He owns it. He loves it. It's his. He understands it. He's got a grip on it. He's grown up into all of that. He's been trained up into all of that. Now he's running with it. And that's how Jesus began his ministry. And that's what his ministry was, to be the son who walks in intimacy with his father. You know, there is a difference in the way we bring up our children. We bring up our children to grow into independence so they can leave home. God doesn't do that. God grows us up into greater and greater dependence on him so that he can entrust us with more and more of the things of his character and nature and heart. So that when he looks at you, Blake, he says, "I can trust that man to do what's on my heart. He's going to do it because he's carrying it in him." And that's what a son is. Son, daughter, it's the same thing, okay? That's what it is. It's a wonderful picture that God has for us. And it's the same as he had for Adam. He shared his heart with Adam. He walked with Adam. He said, "This is what I've made. Go spread it across the entire earth." 2 Corinthians 6 gives us a bit more of the picture of what God is wanting for his people. Verse 16, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." And going to verse 18, "I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." What a wonderful picture of intimacy. So what's holding it up? Let's have a look at the verse in the middle, verse 17. Because that's only a partial picture. "Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you." A holy God who wants to reveal his glory needs a holy people who can carry that. All of these promises of intimacy, of delight, of a future and a hope, of God saying, "You are my son, you're my daughter, I love you, thank you that you run with the things that are on my heart." There's a condition in here. This is New Testament, remember. Come out, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. Today God is going to set people free. Dan's already said it, he's going to set people free of long-standing issues. Things that have held you back, things that have weighed you down, things that have oppressed you, things that diminish you, things that accuse you, things that trouble you, clouds over your head, God is going to lift those things today. Come on. God's good. This theme is also found in Isaiah 52. It says, we're not going to put up loads of scriptures today, I'm just going to read you bits. "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the articles of the Lord's house." Those of us here today, we carry something of what God has given us to carry. So the Lord says, "You need to be clean because I want to be intimate with you. I want to delight in you and I want you to delight in me. So you need to be clean, because if you're not, there's a separation. And it goes on to say in Isaiah 52, talks about Jesus. It says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will sprinkle many nations." And this is the work of Jesus. It's to make this world clean and to be fully restored to him, to work with him in that. He must have a people who are clean. So what happens if we're not? Well, Ezekiel 20, which also carries exactly the same theme here, it talks about God bringing his people into a promised land. It's a beautiful land. It's abundant. The Bible just uses this description. It's flowing milk and honey. Wonderful place. These guys are living in a desert. They want to be there. By the description of it, I want to be there. I want to be in that garden with my God. I want to be in that place with him. So how do we get there? Well, that passage calls upon God's people to be holy. And it says in verse 20, "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." But it says if you continue to defile yourself, to get dirty, then the immediate consequence of that is, he says, "Am I to let you inquire of me? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will not let you inquire of me." Interesting. We go deaf. Why? Because we've turned up the wrong kind of mood music in our lives, which drowns out the intimate, gentle, loving voice of our Father. If any of us in this room are at the moment thinking, "Lord, I need to know what is your will for my life, but I can't hear it. What are you saying to me?" Then this may be for you. We need to be clean. Let me give you an example of this. Bless my son, Joel. He's not in the room at the minute. Otherwise, he'd go a lovely shade of red. He's got a PlayStation at home, and he's got a computer, and he's got a laptop, and it's all up in his room. And the sound from the computer is just deafening when you go in his room. I hate to think what our electricity bill is like with that. But he has these huge headphones, okay, which cover his ears entirely, and they are noise cancelling. So picture the scene, okay? Saren wants to call Joel down for tea. "Joel!" Silence. "Joel!" Probably hearing me there. Silence. "Joel!" Silence. So stomp, 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 stomp. Up the stairs, bang on the door. No answer. He can't hear, because his head's full of stuff with these noise-cancelling headphones. If there is stuff in our lives, if there is the wrong kind of mood music playing in our lives, then sometimes we find it hard to hear what God is saying to us. We find it hard to do that. And Ezekiel 20 continues with a really beautiful note. These are tough passages. If you want to read them at some time, if this is striking you, Isaiah 52, Ezekiel 20, have a read of them. They're tough passages. But there's this beautiful note in it. God continues that he will restore his people. And it says they will pass under his rod. What does that mean? That's two pictures in one. First of all, he's the king and he has a scepter. So when God restores us to him, he brings us back under his authority. Secondly, he's a shepherd. And when the shepherd counts in his sheep, and they still do it in the Middle East, they come under the rod, one, counting sheep, two. I don't know how shepherds manage to stay awake doing this, but they do. So they count the sheep in as they go under the rod. And actually, what they still do in the Middle East while they're counting the sheep back in parts of Syria, the shepherd stands there, they're counting the sheep, and the sheep pass between the legs of the shepherd. And as the sheep goes between the legs of the shepherd, he checks their fleece. He's looking for ticks. He's looking for bugs. He's looking for something that shouldn't be. He's looking to see whether the sheep is clean and healthy. So when we use that word, or the Bible uses that phrase, "touch no unclean thing," turn it around. What God is saying, I want you to be healthy. I want you to be clean. I want you to be well in everything. So the shepherd who's counted the sheep in checks the sheep to see that the sheep is okay. What God says is that he longs to count you in. He longs to count you in. But if we're going to be counted in, we're in under his authority, his rod. It's his authority. Now I want to be counted in. I want to be well. I believe the normal Christian life is to heal the sick and raise the dead. Anything else falls short of that. I do not want to fall short of that. That's my life goal. And I will not settle. God won't let me settle for less than that. So I have to say, okay, God, put your authority over me. Check me and see if I'm clean. As David says, check me out, Lord. Search my heart. If there's anything in me that isn't right, any anxious way in me, anything in me that's just not clean, please, Lord, put it right. Because I want that intimacy with you. Not just so that I will feel good, but so that I'm fit for service. So that you can use me to express the power of your love to those who are desperate for you. I want to be fit for service. The Lord challenged me recently over what I'm watching and what I'm listening to. Now, I'm not daft enough to watch horror movies or pornography, but I quite like watching a good thriller. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes these things have got a dark theme to them. Sometimes they're pretty violent. And sometimes the mood of it, when you switch the thing off, you think, oh my, is the world really that bad? Now, for me, a weakness in my flesh is I'm prone to depression. That's a weakness that God calls me to overcome. I have to be careful with the mood music in my life. All right? I learned a long time ago that it is stupid, Andrew, for you to listen to the blues. Don't do it. This is me, okay? You may be fine listening to the blues. It's not a problem. The blues are not a problem. It's the mood music, the impact it has on my life. Okay? Same with thrillers. Fine. But. And what the Lord asked me a question. And it's great when God asks you questions, because it's not that he doesn't know the answer. It's that he's asking you to check out the answer. Frank's nodding there. The question was, Andrew, what are you feeding when you watch those things? Why are you drawn to that kind of film? I still haven't quite got the answer, but I am learning to be careful. I learned a long time ago that I need to be careful with the books that I read. Because a book is quite a commitment of time, isn't it? And if it's a well-written book, you really get into it. And I can now tell, certainly by the first chapter, usually within the first page or two, what is the mood music of the book? Is it actually going to lift me up? Or is it going to feed something inside of me which might be depressive? If so, even if I paid good money for this book, I shut it, get rid of it. We just got rid of one today to a charity shop that I bought. Thought, I'll go back, have a look at that author. 2 pages in, I think, nope, the whole book's going to be like this. No. Otherwise, what happens is, you're listening with the headphones on, the sound gets into your head, it gets into your heart, and even when the headphones are off, it's going through like an earworm. The mood music continues to play. It continues. What are you feeding? Now, Jesus, when he washed the feet of his disciples, he said, you know, you're already clean. But where your feet touch the ground, that's where it gets dirty. Yeah? You're already clean. You're already clean. But actually, you need to have these feet washed, and you need to have them washed every day. Because where your feet touch the ground, they get dirty. So what's the mood music in your life? One of the things that I've found very helpful from the Lord, I've asked him to show me what my attitude is. Because eventually the things that we listen to or fill our mind with sink right down into our attitude. And the next thing we know, they're coming out of our mouth and they're coming out in the way we carry ourselves. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be really practical here. So I ask God, please God, help me to smell my attitude. Does that sound daft? What smell am I giving off? Is it the great smell of brute? Or am I behaving like a brute? And although I can't smell with my nose, I can smell my attitude. Why did I get like that? Because I let something in which was unclean. If you touch unclean stuff, picture please, then you will get dirt over you. Wonderful picture of a miner coming up in the background there. Bless him, dignified picture, but the man is covered in coal dust. He is going to need a jolly good scrub to get that stuff. And as we go about our lives and as we go about in the world, the mood music we play, literally, the stuff we read, the stuff we watch, the attitudes we pick up, can begin to rub off on us. That's why the disciples were told, when they reject you, shake the dust off your feet. Why? Because you don't want to carry the mood music of rejection in your life. Yeah? Shake it off. You don't want that to stick to you at all. That's why I sent them out in twos. Yep, so you can stand with one another and encourage one another and build one another up. You're not on your own. So our attitude needs to be, Lord, get me clean. I lift my eyes to you, Lord. You've already washed me, but I want to be fit for service. I want to be clean. I want to be able to be filled by you. I want to be an instrument of your love for others, the power of your love. I want your power at work in my life, not because it's power, but because you are love, and the power of God's love is to set other people free. And that's the calling of Jesus, and that's the calling of Jesus on our lives, to care for people and set them free. If God is going to walk with me, if I'm going to be his son, if I'm going to be brought into this land of intimacy and closeness with my God, he says, touch no unclean thing. Now, this isn't a call to be a monk or a nun. It's a call to wash our feet occasionally. Okay? And actually, we can't really do that on our own. They weren't given a bucket and a towel and told, go wash your own feet. They needed to have their feet washed. We've been reading Psalms, Psalm 51. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Blot out all my iniquity. And the picture there of the use of hyssop leaf is used about cleansing people who've touched dead bodies. It's used about cleansing people who've come into contact with lepers. It's all about the cleanness. The whole ministry of Jesus is to make clean. Dis-ease is whatever in our lives is not at ease with God. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's our attitudes, it's unclean. It's all unclean. Everything about the demonic is unclean. That's its nature. It's all unclean. Don't flirt with it. Don't flirt with it. Think about what you watch. Think about what you read. Think about what you listen to. Don't flirt with it. Because what goes into your eyes can get into your heart and can be worked out in your life. We need to know where our weaknesses are. We're all different. I know what mine are. Lord's showing that to me. I need to be wise in what I watch. The other picture of this sprinkling is of the Passover lamb. It's the blood of the lamb. On the doorposts, the blood so that death could not visit that house. I don't want death to visit my house. I don't want to put up any invitation signs to death to visit my house. I want the blood of the Lamb on my doorposts, because that shouts louder than me. That guarantees my Passover. And in all of this, God actually needs our cooperation. Revelation 7 gives a picture of God's people standing before his throne in white robes. Verse 14 is a beautiful picture. Maybe just shut your eyes and let me read it to you. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, for that reason, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Beautiful. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's your future. That's the future of humanity. But the precondition is they had washed their robes. Hang on. Who washed their robes? They did. They had washed their robes. They did it. It's active, not passive. It's not something that happens to you. It's something we do. We need to be clean. How do we know what we need to be cleansed of? Because really, you know, I am absolutely not suggesting that we go for introspection or woe is me or I'm such a miserable worm, I'm a maggot. I'm really not saying any of that. We're sons, and God has given us the right to be sons. So how do we know if any of this applies to us? If there are habits, if there are things in our lives, if we're touching stuff which is putting soot over us that needs to be washed off, how do we know it? God shows us. Ezekiel 20 says that, actually. He says, it will come to mind. It will come to mind. This morning, it will come to mind. What we're going to do shortly is take communion. I know we did that last week. But we're going to take communion. And when we take communion, we take the bread, which is the life of God in you. And we take the blood of Jesus, or the fruit juice that represents the blood of Jesus. And what that represents is his cleansing in our lives. Are there things you need to be clean of? He'll bring it to mind. You don't have to search. He'll bring it to mind. God woke me up. God woke me up with this word. And on a different day, he woke me up with a dream. And I believe this is for somebody in this room. Because it wasn't actually about me. I was in it, but it's not me. I dreamt I was trying to back out of a wrong relationship, but I didn't have the courage to do it. There was indecision about ending it or continuing with it. I didn't know. As a result of my unrighteousness, I was open to enemy attack and things were constantly going wrong. It was like a war of attrition. I was undermined because I wasn't doing the right thing. I'd exposed myself to his attack. I was losing what I had. And I woke up and I sensed the Lord saying, take your stand against the devil's schemes. And having done all, continue to stand. I was not to be undermined by unrighteousness. And later I sensed the Lord saying, don't cast your pearls before swine. I don't know who this is for. But the relationship, that other person is not going to appreciate you the way you should be appreciated. And I felt him say, go back to the plough and dig a new furrow. Now, if that's for you, you'll know. So when Adam fell, God asked him a question. Can you remember what the question was that God asked? Where are you? Can you imagine that? God knows the answer to that question, so why does he ask it? So that it will strike Adam. God comes looking for this man that he walks with and he shares and he shows everything to. And he's given this great future and this great hope and this great commission. And he says, where are you? And God has always been asking that question ever since of people. He asks it of us all the time. Where are you, Larry? Where are you? Come on. Come on, let's walk together. Come on. Where are you? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples but said, you're already clean. Do we want to hear God speak more clearly to receive his counsel in our lives, to get his guidance? Think about the mood music that's in your life. Do we want to know our God walking with us in moment-by-moment intimacy? Then we need to wash our robes. Let God reveal any habit, any practice that's unclean and separates you from his moment-by-moment intimacy, that causes you to hide from his presence. Let him show you, because he loves you and wants to restore you. He wants to put his rod over you and count you in. That's his heart, shepherd's heart. I want all my sheep. Come on. How do we do it? Well, forgiveness is immediate. Being cleansed of bad habits can take time. The word says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a process. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Amplified version of that says this, he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness. And it defines that as our wrongdoing and everything in our lives that isn't in line with his will and his purpose. What's an unclean thing? Well, for me, it's the blues. It may not be for you. It's other things too. But it's anything in your life that isn't in line with his best for you. Anything in your life which gets in the way of that future and the hope that he has for you. It's anything there that's a distraction. Anything there that's become too precious and you serve that instead of serving God. Anything that hinders his perfect plan. Anything that gets in the way of him pouring out his love to you and through you to a hurting world. But here's the thing. We can't get clean on our own. We were never supposed to. It's never supposed to be just me and God. James 5:16 says this. This is important. This is the kind of action point, if you like. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. The Amplified says, sin, that's a false step. That's a misstep. That's a stumble in the wrong direction, okay? Or it's an offense. It might just be, I'm just going the wrong way here. Whatever. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Restored to what? Intimacy. Moment by moment, intimacy with a God who loves you, who's given you dignity, hope, and a purpose, and has an amazing plan for your life, who wants to use you to set other people free, to raise them up, to give them a hope and a purpose. Your treasure in heaven, they'll be. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We need righteous people around us who will pray for us and help us wash our robes. That means we need to find them, spend time with them, get to know them, and be honest with them. That's why we have small groups, to build honest, discipling relationships, not just to do activities together. Whatever the group is, whatever its activity, that isn't the goal. The goal is relationship. That's the goal. To deepen your walk with the Lord, to make you more effective in his service. That's the goal. Not whatever you're doing. in your group, however noble that may be. We need to get real with people so that we can stand together against the devil's schemes. So I would urge you, and I believe I'm urging you from the Lord, find people to be authentic with. Find people to share your heart with who won't judge you, but who'll pray for you, who'll stand with you, who won't be dismayed by you, because we're all there. We're all in the same boat. But who'll say, I'm going to stand with you in that. We're going to stand together on that until, however long it takes, we're going to stand together on that until that's free, until we're through on that. Anything else, folks, is not authentic Christianity. It's not just me and Jesus. We're in a body because we need one another. It's time to get real with each other. That's the purpose of our small groups. You won't be able to do it with a crowd, can't do it with a room, can't even do it with eight people, but within that group you'll find somebody who'll stand with you. Somebody who'll be a brother to you or a sister to you, who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. Somebody who'll be faithful to you in season and out when you're going through it, to pray with you, to stand with you, to believe in you and hope for the best for you, to champion you in the spirit. We need that. Somebody in this room needs you to be that to them. That's what we need to move into. If we're not doing it with one another, if I'm not being cleansed with your help, how am I going to help anybody else? So let's clean up our acts so we can be close to God and effective for Him. Let's open up to others so we can be helped and so we can help them. And let's start today by listening to that question that God asked Adam. Where are you? Where are you? We're going to take communion. Before that, just take a time of reflection. Lift yourself to God. Is there anything in your life you need to clean up? And then when you're ready, come to the front, take that bread, and take that wine, and see that wine as representative of the blood of Jesus that washes you whiter than snow. But please, if we're talking in our lives about habitual things or things that have been hanging about, recognize that in taking communion today and confessing something to God, you've begun a process which needs to continue. And that process needs to continue with people, not just between you and God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.